Amen, Paul. Amen. Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 1.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Samuel chapter 1. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord again tonight. Appreciate, as the brother already said, the opportunity and invitation to be with you in these days. And appreciate the preaching I've heard. I need to hear preaching too. And I'm grateful for it. And thankful for, I said already last night, thankful for your preacher and his friendship. And it's always a joy to be here with you all. And I trust that the Lord will help us tonight.
Yes.
And today was one of them days I really didn't know for a long time what the Lord wanted for the service. And just before we left to come down here, He began to work in my heart in this scripture. And so I want to try my best to give you what's on my heart. And we'll try to be as brief as we can and let you go. But I trust the Lord will help us. Thank the Lord for what's already been done. Appreciate the preaching already tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 1, when you found your place, if you want to stand, rest from your seats out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Familiar scripture, no doubt, into your hearing tonight. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We live in a day where a lot of people are persuaded that a lot of things matter. And the majority of things that they think matter really don't matter. I'm not going to preach politics at all tonight. But I remember in the days leading up to the election that they, whoever they are, polled the people of America and asked them what mattered to them. And they weighed in on different things. Some said that this mattered more than that. But a lot of those things really don't matter. But I'm afraid in this day that there are some things that do matter. Yeah. And what I'm afraid of is that the people of God, the things that do matter, maybe don't matter as much as they ought to them. Right. We read into your hearing tonight, and I'm just going to take my time and try to preach to you. Read into your hearing tonight about a woman that she had a situation that really mattered to her. She wanted a child more than anything else. And in this record, in these 11 verses, the Holy Ghost is allowing us to see into the heart of Hannah how much it really mattered to her to have a son. And so the Lord began to speak to my heart to ask you a question tonight. How much does it matter?
Right.
Whatever it is in your life that you need God, not just want God. Hannah had done got past the place that she just wanted a child. Now she got to the place where she needed one, and she would not be satisfied with anything else. I was reminded today of Rachel when she said, "Give me children or else I die." That's how much it mattered to her. Now, whatever it is in your heart, in your life that you need God to work in, that prayer you need God to answer, that problem you need God to fix, how much does it matter to you?
Right.
Not how much does it matter to the church, though I believe that it is the will of God, as we're told by the Scripture, to help bear one another's burdens. We ought to pull together in prayer. We ought to have compassion on one another. We ought to love one another. I'm afraid in this day that the people of God just don't love one another like we ought to. But the question tonight is not how much does it matter to the church, or how much does it matter to the preacher, or how much does it matter to your husband or your wife or your parents or your children, but how much does it matter to you?
Right.
And only you can answer that question.
Sure.
I can't answer it for you.
Right.
The preacher can't answer it for you. Your spouse can't answer it for you. You and God, being honest with yourself and honest with God, that thing you want and need more, I'm not talking about material things. I'm not here tonight to preach about wanting a bigger house or a finer car. If that's all that's on your mind, probably not going to be any help to you tonight. But I'm talking about that need down deep in your soul that you can't do anything about. And you know it's going to take a move of God to do the work that needs to be done. How much does it matter to you for God to do what you need Him to do? Does it matter enough? And I just have, the Lord spoke to my heart. I got three things I want to ask you and I'll be done. But I feel very persuaded in my soul that the Lord is wanting to deal with some hearts, and probably already is in the service tonight, about how much it does or doesn't matter in your heart. We think sometimes that things matter to us more than the reality is that they do. And sometimes the things that don't matter so much ought to matter more than they do in our heart. That thing, and as I'm preaching tonight, there's folks in the congregation that need, you already know what it is. You don't need anybody to tell you. Down deep inside your heart, Hannah didn't need Peninnah to tell her, though she did provoke her. She didn't need Peninnah to tell her she didn't have any children. She was very well aware of the situation going on in her life. She didn't need Peninnah to remind her how much she desired to have one. She was very much aware of it. And you don't need me to remind you of what your need is. You just need to be honest with yourself and take inventory of how much it matters to you. I wonder if it matters enough to you to walk a little further. If that's what it's going to take to get it, does it matter that much for you to go a little further? I read in the scriptures about a man by the name of Elisha, and the only thing that mattered to him was a double portion of his master's spirit. And it mattered enough to him to walk a little further. They have set out from Gilgal, and that's a type and a picture of salvation. That's only the beginning. I don't know where along the line or when it was that we got the idea that salvation is the end result. In reality, it's only the beginning. That's why Jesus likened salvation to a new birth. That's only the beginning. There's so much more to it than that. We feel like salvation when we, and I'm not taking anything away from it. It's the most important thing that'll ever occur and happen in the life of an individual. I understand that. I'm not doing any irreverence to it. But we think that once we're saved, that's it. We sit down, bide our time till the Lord comes. That's not it, friend. There's more to it than that. And if getting what you need requires you to go a little further with God, does it matter that much to you? Does it matter enough to you to leave Gilgal behind? That's a good place. Thank God for it. That's where the children of Israel landed under command of Joshua. And the Lord said to circumcise them. And this day I've rolled the reproach of Egypt away. Thank God for the Gilgal. But what about going a little further with God? Elijah said, I'm leaving here and I'm going to Bethel. He said, you can stay here if you want to. I'm going to go on a little further. Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'm not leaving. I'm going with you. What if God wants to lead you on past your Gilgal and take you a little farther in? Are you willing to go? What if we get to Bethel and it's good there. Bethel is that place where Jacob had his visitation with the Lord. Bethel means the house of God. But there's more to it, friend, than just coming to the house of God. Thank God for a place to come. Thank God for the freedom to worship. Thank God for the brethren that we can assemble together. But if this is all there is to your Christian life, I'm afraid you've missed out. There's more to it than that. God's not confined in these four walls. He told Solomon, I don't exist. I can't dwell just in a house made with hands. But I'm glad there've been a few times that God's been as real in my house, in my barn, at my prayer place, as he's ever been in the house of God. Has he ever been that for you? If he's never been that for you, he wants to be. He wants to manifest himself. We have this idea, and I understand it's there in the scripture, and I'm just trying to preach tonight my heart. I know we're in a different gear, but I feel the Lord working in my heart and trying to work in yours tonight. There is the abiding presence. When we get saved, he said he'd never leave us, never forsake us, go with us all the way. That's his abiding presence. But there's more to it than that. There is the manifested presence of God. We don't have to come. I'm glad to be able to come, and I'm not doing any discredit to the house of God. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is the place where we exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. This is the place where we commune together and fellowship and pull together in one direction toward God. But I'm telling you, God, we don't have to be in the building for God to manifest Himself to us. We've missed that in our church world.
Yes,
sir. Yes. We're hard on all these formal religions, and we're as formal as they are because we believe that we got to get in a building. Thank God for the building. I'm glad for the building. Glad for a good place together. But I'm telling you, Christ didn't die as the preacher preached tonight. He didn't die for a building. He died for a body. And you're as much a part of the church outside the building as you are inside. Have you ever went past Bethel?
That's right.
It didn't say that he crossed Bethel off the map and said, it don't exist to me. I'm not going to go back there anymore. He just had to go a little farther. And God understands. And I'm not preaching tonight for you to forsake the church at all, but there's more to it. Your service with God, there's more to it than just three nights a week. And if getting what you need from God is God leading you past your Bethel, are you willing to go?
Yep.
He said, Elisha, I'm leaving Bethel. Got to go to Jericho. You can stay here if you want to. He said, no, I'm going with you. And they get down there to Jericho. Jericho's this big walled city. All the fine things. I'm going to tell you something. You better not get too caught up. I don't know what Jericho speaks to a lot of you other preachers. I understand that it was a cursed place, but the Lord's put it in my heart to preach tonight that Jericho is a type of man's ability. And if you don't ever get past your ability or the ability of any other man, you'll never go very far with God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, the writer of the song said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Now, I like the song. In my heart, I met to worship. And the writer got it right. Thank God for it. Brethren, we have met to worship. But we can't worship without Him.
Amen.
Have you ever got, brother, I'm not trying to kill the meeting tonight. I'm just trying to preach my heart. Have you ever got past yourself? I know a lot of Christians sitting on church pews, they've never got past their self. You can take that however you need to take it, however the Holy Ghost will speak it to your heart. But we got to get past ourselves. It ain't about us. It's about Him. Maybe that means to get past yourself. Maybe that means you need to step out of your comfort zone. Too many of the people of God are holding on to the pew, and God are wanting them to come on and go a little farther. But it's uncomfortable for them. It's uncharted waters. They've never been there before. And I understand there's fear. I understand there's questions. I understand there's things you don't understand. But answer me this. Has He ever failed you? Has He ever led you wrong? Has He ever hurt you? No, no, no. He wants to help you. Follow Him. He said, I'm leaving Jericho. I'm going to Jordan. You can stay if you want to. No, I'm going with you. All right, then. They get down to Jericho, leave Jericho, get down to Jordan. 50 men of the sons of the prophets come to him. They've come in other places, but it's a little more detailed right here. They come to him and said, your master's going to be taken from you today. He said, I know it. You don't have to tell me. Just like Hannah knew, Elisha knew.
Right.
He knew what was going to happen, and he knew what he needed, and he's willing to do whatever it took to get it. I want to know tonight, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get what you need from God? I'm not saying tonight you can earn God's favor. I'm not saying tonight that you can obtain it in your own will, your own power. But God may want you to take another step, and that next step you take could be the step that He gives you what you need. Elijah and Elisha walked to the river. And the way that I read it, so do the sons of the prophets. They just stand a view afar off on this side of Jordan. And I'm telling you, there are many, 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 many of the people of God that stand a view afar off and on this side of Jordan and never cross over. There were 52 that came to the river and only 2 that went across. That sounds about right in our day too. But the Bible said that Elijah took his mantle, smote the waters, and they parted hither and thither, and Elijah crossed over. It don't say anything about his remarks to Elisha. It don't say anything about him saying, "I'm fixing to go over." Elijah just went, and he knew on the inside of him, by the help of the Holy Ghost, that if Elisha wanted it bad enough, he'd follow after him. And you may be tonight in the place where you've come down to the waters of Jordan. Now, this ain't in the scripture, but I believe in my heart that it's probably right. It may have been about that time where Jordan, I know it was in Joshua's day when they crossed over. And maybe it could have been in Elisha's day too, that Jordan had overflowed its banks. All Elisha, when he stepped up, could hear was the roaring of the river. And he saw the size of the water. And he saw that he needed to get over, but he thought, how in the world God's brought me to here and I can't get over? You ever felt that way? Lord, I'm trying to follow you. Lord, I'm trying to do what you want me to do, but you brought me here and I ain't no way to get over. And about that time, I'm just preaching how it's on my heart tonight, okay? About that time, all these thoughts are rolling through Elisha's mind. I've come here. I've come this far. I need that. I don't just want it anymore. I need that double portion, and I've got to hear, and God's going to fail, and I can't get it. And about that time, he hears a smack on the water, and he watches, and they part hither and thither, and Elijah walks over. Never misses a beat. And in Elisha's heart, there's a new joy. There's a new desire, and he crosses over. Now I want to tell you something tonight, child of God. If you're standing in front of a Jordan and what you need's on the other side, and in your mind is rolling all the questions, God, why here? God, why now? God, why this? I can't get across, God. There's not a way. Why have you brought me here to leave me here? Just hang on a minute. You'll hear a smack on the water, and God will make a way for you to get across if you want to go. You going to stay on this side like the 50 sons of the prophets, or do you have a desire to go over like Elisha did? That portion meant enough for Elisha to walk a little farther. Does it mean enough to you? Now, I've tried to look at it, and I understand that we don't know everything there is to know, but I've tried to look at it on the map, and Elijah's direction Don't make any sense. It wasn't a straight line. It wasn't the most easy path. It wasn't the path of the shortest distance. It was up and down and around and around. But God knew what He was doing. I'm going to tell you, it may not be the path of least resistance. It may not be the easiest path. But God knows what He's doing. See, when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible said He led them the roundabout way in the wilderness because He knew the enemies were ahead and their heart was not yet prepared for war. Sometimes we spend, and I'm saying we spend all our days begging God to make it easier, take us quicker, but God knows what we don't. Amen. That's His business. It was His business in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that I read into your hearing. It was Him that had shut up Hannah's womb, and that's His business. And it's God's business tonight why you're in the shape you're in, why you have the trouble you have, why you have the need you have. Just follow Him. He'll take care of you. Does Does it matter enough for you to walk a little farther? Is there something in your heart, something in your Christian life? Do you want that portion? Have you watched somebody in the church and you've longed to have what they have and it seems like it's out of reach for you? I'm telling you something, there's no special privileges that only some enjoy and others don't get to. You can have as much of God as you want to have. The choice is up to you. How much does it matter? Does it matter enough to walk a little farther? Leave behind Gilgal, leave behind Jericho, leave behind Bethel, cross over Jordan. Does it matter that much to you? Is there some portion in your soul you're wanting? Is there some problem in your life you need God to intervene in? How much does that matter to you? There's a man blind sitting by the highway side begging named Bartimaeus. And he wasn't just Bartimaeus. The Bible called him blind Bartimaeus. Everybody identified him by his problem. He didn't need anybody to tell him he was blind. And it don't matter if I know your problem or if the preacher knows your problem or all the church knows your problem. You know the problem. And Jesus passes by. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something about wanting something from God. There's always going to be them folks in the crowd that don't want you to get it. Amen. There's 50 of them in Elisha's crowd, and they said what they were saying is, when they said, "Knowest thou that thy master will be taken from thy head today," what they meant was, why are you putting all this effort and all this into it when he's just going to go? Why don't you stay here with us? We got a good setup here. Amen. And I hate to say this tonight, but there are folks in the church, the opposition's not always from without. If you want to go farther with God, there's probably going to be somebody in the church try to get you to figure out why you're doing what you're doing, why go farther, why pay this price, why make this effort. We can just sit on the pew and be happy, and there is some truth to that. Thank God for being in the family, but there's more to it than that. And if you'll allow them, they'll sway you away from that thing that you need. Bartimaeus heard Jesus was coming by. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And there's some in the crowd, just like in Elisha's day, still the same bunch. They said, "Be quiet. Don't bother him. Hold your peace." But it mattered too much to Bartimaeus. Down in your heart, is the devil telling you just to be quiet? Not to bother God? Is he saying he's not listening to you? That's what the crowd was telling Bartimaeus. He ain't going to listen to you. Look at you. You're a beggar. You're a blind man. He don't want anything to... He's the Lord. He don't want anything to do with you. He don't have time for you. May not be the devil, may be your own flesh. Right. Are you telling yourself the Lord don't have time for you? You convinced yourself the Lord... Now, this is different for me tonight, preacher, but I believe I'm doing right. Yes, sir. Have you convinced yourself that the Lord is not interested in you? He don't have time for you. He does have time, and he's interested in you tonight. I want to know, does it matter enough for you to cry a little louder?
Amen.
It may not be that you have a portion you need and you're going to have to walk a little farther. Maybe it is that there's a problem in your life and you've tried everything you can to fix it and you've come to the realization that you should have come to, and we all should come to at the first, that God's the only one that can fix my problem, and he's passing by where you are, and you've tried to cry, you've tried to pray, but it seems like your flesh, the devil, the brethren, whoever it is, are saying, just give up. Will you cry a little louder? Does it matter that much? They said, "Be quiet, leave the master of trouble." Not the master, leave him alone. And the Bible said he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And unbeknownst to Bartimaeus to begin with, now I'm going to tell you something. The Lord works and we can't see. And we don't know what he's doing, but he's a working. Aren't you glad for that? Because the Bible said Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus is still crying. He don't know anything's going on. He's blind. He can't see. And that's how we are in the dark. We don't see what all God's doing. We're just crying and crying and crying. And all the while, he's getting ready to move on our behalf. And he stood still. You can believe what you want to. I think Brother Hobson, I think the Lord told them ones that had just told him to be quiet to go get him.
It's good.
You go get him. And the Bible said they come to the blind man. And they said, rise. Be of good comfort.
Yes.
He calleth thee.
Amen.
I don't know if that's doing anything for you. But it's a working in my heart that he's a calling you. Rise, child of God. Don't stay in your seat no longer. You've cried and you've cried and you've prayed and you've prayed and it don't seem like nothing's happening. You don't think you've got God's attention, and the Holy Ghost has come where you are tonight and said, rise, be of good comfort. He's calling you. Somebody wrote a song, said, your cries have awoken the master. If it matters to you, it matters to the master. Will you cry a little out? Does it mean that much to you? Does it matter that much for you just to cry just one more time? Is that problem in your heart that you've tried everything you can to fix it and it ain't working? Will you cry one more time? This could be the time that he calls for you. You have a problem you need the Lord to help you with. And then we come to the text tonight, and I'm done. I wonder if there's a prayer you've been a-praying.
Amen.
And it seems like the Lord just ain't hearing.
Yes, sir.
You get up from your prayer place, and anybody that's been saved for any length of time and done any praying at all has got up from your prayer place and felt like you've wasted your time.
Yes.
I'm not saying you have, but you feel that way inside your heart.
Yeah.
And you think, Lord, what am I doing? This ain't doing any good. In this scripture I read into your hearing, we read the Bible sometimes and we think all these things happen like that. But the Bible said it happened this way year by year.
Right.
Hannah prayed year after year after year after year, and she went home the same year after year. Felt like God wasn't listening year after year. I saw another baby born to her adversary, Peninnah, year after year. I went back to worship the same year after year. But aren't you glad there's a year and a day and a prayer? God heard her. Say, preacher, I've prayed and I'm about giving up praying. Does it matter enough to you to just wait just a little longer? I guarantee those days and years went by that Hannah thought, I'll never have it, I might as well give up. But something down on the inside of her said, just wait a little longer. Just go one more time. See, the reality is you ought to go pray one more time. And if that don't work, go pray one more time and one more time, because there's going to be a time. It'll be the one more last time, and God will do what you need Him to do.
Yes.
And God remembered Hannah.
Yes, sir.
And He will remember you. All them days you felt like it was a waste of your time, God's taking notice. All them times that you've tried to convince yourself that it's not worth it, it's no use, God is taking notice. All them days that somebody else might have tried in good intentions to comfort you and say, just leave it alone, don't worry about it, don't do that no more, God's still taking notice. That's what her husband did. He tried, I believe he had good intentions. He wasn't trying to be mean to her. He loved her, the Bible said. And he said, am I not better to you than... He tried to get her mind off of it. He said, don't worry about that. You spent all these years and you still don't have a son. Probably never going to have one. Just be content with what you have. Sometimes our flesh feels that way. Sometimes our family talks that way. But God's still God. How much does it matter to you? That problem, that prayer, that portion you want from God, you satisfied where you are? I mean, really, really satisfied? You just happy where you are? Or do you want more? There's more to be had. Why settle for the crumbs when you can have the whole cake?
Yes, sir.
That's what God's offering you tonight. More. More. We sing that song, I want to know more about my Jesus. Yes, I do. Do you tonight? If you do, you can. Not just a want to, you can know more about Him. You can have a better portion than you have. You can have that problem fixed. You can have that prayer answered. How much does it matter to you? As we stand all over the house, if that's okay, brother.